Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Well, I'm Bill Shear. I pastor the Guts Church in Tulsa and Sepulpa and Skytook. And really, honestly, you know, the way it really lays out, we've got a second church on this property that's the distribution center. And I think a lot of people, we don't recognize it as such. We combine all four churches, but it works, and it's not independent of this church, but it works in ways where there's a Tuesday service, a Tuesday morning service, there's a Friday morning service, and there's services throughout the week. There's hundreds of volunteers there, just like they are at all the other church properties. So you guys that serve in the distribution center, man, I just want to thank you and appreciate you. Hey, you guys, Sandy's here. I want to thank her for being here. Sandy, you mind standing? And I'll tell you, we're so appreciative of the hundreds of people who make the nightmare happen. And it just is, again, it's the 25th year of being swept off our feet, Sandy, with just the overwhelming commitment in people's lives. And I say that to tell you, the two big weekends are coming up. It operated the first two weekends on Friday and Saturday nights, and the next two weekends is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you can do the math that, you know, we're probably gonna need a couple hundred extra volunteers that maybe weren't involved in the first 2 weeks. And I'll tell you, not to put somebody in the spot, but I visited with Curtis Hunsinger last night, and the whole time I was visiting with him, and congratulations on that new home too. The Hunsingers moved into a big new home. It's got a creek that cuts the backyard in half and 2 acres, and I think it's out there in Broken Arrow, towards Arkansas, isn't it? Out there. But it's kind of Club Hunsinger is what we like to call it. But I was talking to Curtis toward the end of the night, and I just thought, why isn't he in the ministry tent? Why isn't he praying with people right now? And it's funny because when I walked in, I looked across the room, and here's Josh Turpin sitting in. And these are monster men of God. I'm just telling you. People that have been in my life now for years that I've watched them go through life and man, keep their attitudes in check and really honestly come out the other side of every situation as men of God. And that's the people that I want greeting people that come out of the nightmare. Last night I saw the first person that came out, and it's probably a 35-year-old girl. And I know that for some of you guys that's a woman, but for me now, being 59, that's a girl. But she came out just tears streaming down her face, and somebody just walked up and just greeted her, and she kind of just leaned into that person. They hugged and then prayed, and I watched her confess Jesus, and then I watched her walk over and fill out a card and say that she did, and then walk out wiping her face. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh. I just got to watch a changed life. It's overwhelming to me. You know, there's a lot of people in the world, and there's a lot of means that we have to take and use to bring people to Jesus. And that's the key. You know, but so much of our lives contradict, you know, the life God gives us. It contradicts the promises God's made to us. And, you know, it's not just that God made these promises, but God's kept these promises. See, the promises of God are what's real. The promises of God are the truth. And the truth is us living in the truth is going to be what sets us free. But see, so it's us living in God's promise is what's going to set us free. But there's contradictions that we see, that we feel, that are our perception of a situation. And I want you to know that perception, the facts of that perception, they might be real, but they differ from the perspective that we get from God's promise. You know, I relate to the Stoltz, you know, that, man, symptoms came on their baby. And, you know, here's a four-month-old little baby that really can't help itself. It needs help, and that's how we are. Man, I need help. And the facts of my life that man, what am I going to do? I want to snap my finger. I need to operate with that magic wand. I need fairy dust flying around. It needs to, you know, and that's not what happens. See, so what do we do with the contradictions? I think about just raising our kids. I think about Sandy and I. There are specific instances with the three children that we have that felt like they were life and death. Felt like it was like, let me tell you, if I don't move, I'll be paralyzed. And see, that's what our circumstances, that's what our situation, that's what the facts that come together in our life, that's what it produces to our flesh. It produces that this paralyzing, and what we have to do not to be paralyzed is we've got to take a step out of it. We have to get out of it. We can never retreat. Write that down. Never retreat. We never give ground, ever, never give ground. Man, I understand that there are negotiating tables that you're at in business, but I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know that we have to negotiate. I know that's what the world dictates. But you know what? I say as Christians, we don't get in this vein of negotiation in our lives. Because when we start negotiating, because the facts seem to be so solid, they seem to be so real. And you know, I think a lot of people just want to walk in. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't even want to know. Well, let me tell you, that living in denial is not faith. See, we've got to understand that what faith is it's absolutely believing God's promise in the midst of factual evidence, in the midst of things that surround us factually, and to where we can step out of it toward that promise. See, it's always about the next step. Please write that down. Your marriage, your children, your finances, your career, your ministry. Your ministry. It's always about what's the next step? See, too often there are churches all over this town, all over this country, all over the world that really honestly they started out vibrant. They started out with huge vision. And you know what? They didn't, they got to a place where they settled. And it stopped being a church and it became a settlement. And now it's just negotiating, trying to keep my piece of the pie. Well, honestly, I believe if God's called you to launch a church and to start a church, it's not about reaching a segment of people. You know, it used to be the common wisdom that I never bought into was that churches are like radio stations. And really, honestly, this was the predominant thought and what people taught to church leaders, that you have to pick the genre of your church to reach that group of people. They said, like a radio station, there's not a radio station out there that just plays all kinds of music. They'll play country music. They'll play rock music. They'll play what those young people call rap music. They'll play, and it's all this music, and it's... And you have to reach a certain segment of people. Well, that's how church has to be. And I kept thinking, are you kidding me? For real. That's the analogy that we're going to use. Are you for real? Are you killing? Because what Jesus said is we go into the world, into every man's world and preach the gospel. Paul said this, become all things to all men that you might save some. See, and what we have to understand is that the weapons of our warfare aren't worldly or carnal. They're mighty unto God. God hasn't called us to reach a piece of the pie. He's given us the pie. I mean, look at the treasure. Look at the pearl of great price. Look at Jesus talking about tribulation. What did he say about tribulation? He didn't come in and say, listen, I'm going to take this scalpel and tweezers and I'm going to extract the thing that's bringing pain to you. No, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be cheerful. That's something you probably ought to write down as well. Be cheerful. That might be the next step for you. Some of you guys need to tell your face that you're not going to hell. Some of you guys need to tell your face that God really does love you and doesn't want to squish you like a bug. Man, God deeply, I mean, more than you could ask, more than you could imagine, that's how much he loves you. But, man, I remember in the instances, and I'm telling you, it's hard to not get emotional when I'm preaching now, just my children, because what happens is when your kids that are counting on you are in a dire situation, they will look at you. And I'm sure all of you guys that have raised kids have had that experience where that child has looked at you and it's like, okay, I sense a helplessness in my life. You've got to do something. And I remember, man, our eyes would lock and it'd be like, okay. And it takes your breath away. You got to breathe deep. And what are you going to do? Are you just going to go, well, I'm just going to become a coward to the facts. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to shrink back, or I'm going to take a stand of faith. And that stand of faith, let me tell you what a stand of faith is in these kind of situations. A stand of faith is you've got to go on the offensive. See, too often we as Christians look at a stand of faith as we're taking a stand and we're taking the hits from the opposition and we're taking the factual hits that are hitting our life and we're on defense. Well, let me explain something to you. When Jesus hung on that cross and he was stretched out on that cross and one of the last words he said was, "It is finished." That puts us on the offensive. See, "It is finished" is the move that Jesus made, and now it's my move. Now it's your move. And you know what God will do? God will back your move. I believe God's anxious about us making bold moves in our lives. You know what a bold move for some of you guys might be? I'll live and not die. You know what a bold move for some of you guys are? Man, I'm paying off this debt, and I'm not going to stand. I'm not living a life as a debtor. And you know what? And you don't have to say, I'll tell you what. 2018, I'm paying my house off. It's like, don't put that date on it. See, because what I think that does a lot of times is it kind of cajoles our flesh. See, there's two things. In John, the fourth chapter. Can you guys turn there to John 4? Thank you for coming, by the way. Man, this is a passionate time. I just see so many people that are serving God and so uncomfortable for hours. And then come to the tech hall, the meeting after the nightmare. And it's funny, I was walking in Friday night to that meeting, and there was a guy that had makeup on his face, and you know, the kid next to him, I was getting ready to walk past them, and as I paused a minute because they were talking, and the kid next to him said, "You know, that makeup's not going to come off when you wash it." He goes, "I know, it'll probably take a few days." And I'm looking at him, he's got this gruesome work of art makeup on his face, and I'm just thinking, he's going to school next week. This is amazing. Because I promise you, that kid's going to go to school and wear the stain of that makeup on his face and neck as a badge of honor. And I don't know, just something about that, I appreciate it. Do the facts of your life ever contradict the truth of God's promise? Yes. So what do? The title of the next two Sundays is Beat Fear. You know, I love that slogan. It's not original. What's very cool is Nike, when they formed their shoe, it was a shoe company, a running shoe company. You know, you guys heard they spent under $100 on the artwork for the swoosh that became their logo. A designer drew it up and gave it to them and charged them really literally under $100 for it. But what I love about how Nike started is they had their slogan, their motto, their objective, their mission statement for their company was two words: beat Adidas. Adidas was the number one shoe company in the world, so their mission statement was just simply beat Adidas. Well, the title of these messages this today and next Sunday is just beat fear. And how do you do that? We have to go on the offensive. And the facts of our life are going to contradict what God's promised. And now we have to deal with it. Now we have to access that measure of faith that God's given to all of us. You are not faithless. Your faith may be weak. What do you have to do? Just like your body gets weak, you've got to exercise your body. You have to exercise your faith. That's what we teach you what to do here, is to exercise your faith. But in John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse, but the hour is coming and now is. Everybody say, and now is. Say it again. And now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. To worship the Father in spirit and truth. Okay? We worship, we must worship. Okay? You understand that? We must worship. It's not an option. We have to, listen, must means make yourself. That means sometimes you're not going to feel like it. Sometimes it doesn't, it's going to feel awkward because the situation doesn't dictate it. We can't let our situations dictate what we do anymore. I'm just telling you. We've got to be, I'll tell you, fellas, we've got to be men of God. No matter what the facts are, no matter what the situation dictates, we're going to be men of God. Man, when your kid's looking at you and thinking, man, I need you to take a stand, you better be ready to take a stand. But let me just tell you, it's got to already be in you. Hesitation kills. We have to be ready. We have to be able. We have to be willing. We have to, listen, we've got to get to a place where our reaction is a reaction of trusting God. I'm not trusting what I see. I'm not trusting how I feel. Let every man be a liar and the word of God be the truth. It's got to be in you. And really, honestly, you know, it's interesting now, being the age I am, but I'm involved as well as my birthday friend, Gib Wingate. Happy birthday today, Gib. But we're starting a rugby program at ORU. Well, the first rugby match is this Saturday against Pitt State. I'm dealing with old feeling. I'm thinking, and people say, man, we're at practice last week, and the guys are going, okay, here's what to expect. And all I can think is, I just want to go stomp a mud hole in them. I want to go and take all their stuff. I want to go and humiliate them. And I hope their mamas aren't there, because we're going to humiliate them in front of their mamas. Okay, it's just something I have to deal with who I am. We're a little competitive in our house, aren't we, Sandy? And let me just tell you, if you guys are thinking, man, he shouldn't be that way, don't meet Sandy. She is 10 times more, aren't you, competitive like that. We've been married 33 years. How many times have you been wrong? A couple? Under 10? Yeah. No, do you hear? Under 10, she goes, oh, yeah. See what I'm dealing with here? And God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now listen, this sounds like this little caveat that it's like, oh, it's poetic. Man, it's not. It's spirit and truth versus flesh and deception. Those are your two options. Spirit and truth. And let me tell you, if you don't do that, your only other option is your life is about flesh and deception. I don't like to be deceived. I don't like to be conned. I don't like to buy into a lie. Did anybody here like to buy into a lie? No. Man, our expectation is what you say you're going to do, you're going to do. And you know, it's interesting, because there's so many trades and so many repairmen and so many places that you go and they, well, I'm gonna, we'll fix this, and we'll do this, and if it doesn't happen, it's like, well, yeah. You're not going to, you don't get what you expect anymore. Well, in the kingdom, we get what we expect. So if your expectation is based on what's appealed to your flesh and deception, it's going to be bad. But if it's the spirit and truth, see, because we need to contradict our circumstances proclaiming God's promise with God's promise. Because this world's all just about contradictions. That's what our politics are now. That's what a lot of the gender, a lot of the racial divide now. It's all just contradictions. I mean, it's, my goodness, we listen to people that just contradict themselves in what they're saying and what they say and do and how they live. Oh my gosh, I I mean, every time you hear it, it's like, it's just a contradiction where it's like, yeah, the only place, listen, that we could put all of our trust is in God's promise. That's the only place that there is left. It's in God's promise. In Luke, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse, Jesus said, and if you've come to church here, you've heard this multiple times. He just said this, behold, I give you, listen, he said, the authority. He doesn't say, I give you some authority. He said, I give you the authority to trample. See, it's the same authority that he walks in. See, it's hard for us to imagine because so much of our lives contradict this, that you have the same authority that Jesus has. The exact same authority. Look at Moses. Moses walks up to the Red Sea. They can hear the Egyptians that are roaring down on them, saying what they're going to do to them, and they just walk. And Moses goes, he's got a staff that has the heritage of everything God had ever done and been faithful in his life, and in his heritage is in his hand. And all he had to do is he had to just reach out that staff, just reach it out. You know what? The seas parted. They crossed a dry land. They got on the other side, and the water then came back and consumed the Egyptians. And I've heard theologians say, well, but the water in the place where Moses crossed was only 6 inches deep, so, you know, parting the Red Sea wasn't that big a deal. Well, okay, let's say that parting the Red Sea wasn't that big a deal. 6 inches of water consuming the Egyptian army is a big deal then. Either way you slice it, I kind of like that way better anyway. That what God did is God used, listen, the situation that Moses was in to prove his faithfulness and his hand in his life. Man, you go through the New Testament. There's just so much that, man, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus. See, here's a guy begging. And the contradiction for that guy is those guys came with bad news initially. I don't have any money for you. Oh, good. Well, step aside for somebody that's got a little change. No, but rise up and walk. And you know what? The guy ended up running and jumping and praising God. Behold, I give you the authority. No matter how old you are, it's not specific to race or gender or age or how much money you have. I give you the authority, listen, to trample. Everybody say trample. Circle, underline, highlight that in your Bible. To trample. To stomp a mud hole in your enemy, the opposition. Your debt doesn't need to be beaten. Your debt needs to be demolished. Your debt, let me just tell you, the wins of your life spiritually need to become signature and statement wins in your life. You know, I talk about Dylan a lot. I love Dylan on this stage. He was a little boy when we met and grew up next door to us. But I'll tell you, I was in the room when his dad came back to life after three different doctors pronounced him dead. Now, I don't know what that does to you. But I'm telling you, that was a statement win in every life around there. See, I was the guy that got to go down to the consultation room at the end of the ICU at St. Francis when it was a big, long hallway before they remodeled the ICU. And I had to tell those little boys, your dad's gone. He's with Jesus. We hugged and we cried and it was emotional. And then walked down that hallway and Mike's wife, their mama said, Pastor, can we just pray for him one more time? I'm like, oh, well, sure. I put on my pastor face. Well, sure. Yes. But she's looking at me similarly to the way my kids looked at me when they were helpless. And it's like, Dad, it's time. And I hear something behind me and I turn and Sandy's walking up behind me in that hallway. And right after she said, can we pray for him one more time, Sandy lifts up her hands like this and said, let's go raise him up. I'm like, are you kidding? And for real, I'm a man of faith and power, okay? I've got my faith's strong as goat's breath. But I'll tell you this. At that point, I was looking for my faith. Sandy's like, let's go raise him up. I'm like, okay. Anybody? I'll be right in there to pray for him, okay? I'm telling you, but first I got to find where anybody see where I left my faith? So I walked in feeling like that. And I walked out of that room 5 minutes later with doctors rushing back in because he'd come back to life. I'll just tell you, we have the authority to stomp a dead mud hole in what the enemy's trying to produce in our lives. And that's the attitude that we have to take. And the verse finishes with, you ready for this, son? And nothing will by any means harm you. Wait a minute. We win no matter what now. It's like you're, okay, put them up. Let's go. Let's go. Man, in Genesis 50, the Bible says what the enemy means for bad, this is Joseph's life, God means for good. Meaning, even in defeat. See, the Bible says this. Write this down and go look it up later. A little bit of homework. The death is swallowed up in victory. See, that's who we are now. Death is swallowed. And we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And death is swallowed up in victory. And debt is swallowed up in victory. And divorce is swallowed up in victory. And depression. Hey, depression is followed. So write it down. Depression is swallowed up in victory. Man, it just, we all know that without faith, it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must know that he's God, and he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, we know that he's God. We know that he can. But you know what? Man, we don't have that same expectation on him being the rewarder. You know what God rewards our faith with? Whatever. Whatever is an amazing word. There's no end to it. There's no limit to it. Well, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. Does it fall under the category of whatever? If you guys are dealing with something that's outside the bounds of whatever, I can't help you. I really can't. You got to go to a better church. I got some funny things I could say right now about other churches, but I'm not going to do it because it's too much fun. And you know, we're not supposed to have that much fun at church. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without fear, it's impossible to please the enemy. Let me tell you what we're doing. We're feeding the enemy's forces when we are operating in fear. And you'll say, well, fear's natural. Hey, I get it. I really do. I deal with fear. But let me tell you, I'm not cowering to fear. I'm not letting fear. It's like, well, what are you going to do? There you go. Because let me tell you, that's what fear does. Fear's saying, the enemy's drawing a line and saying, okay, it's on. You cross that line. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want it to be on. I want a soft, comfortable life. I don't want any adversity. I don't want any pain. I don't want to have to deal with patience. Let me tell you, if you're seeking a comfortable life without adversity, you're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and you're going to atrophy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Your life's going to hit atrophy, and the next thing you know, you're not going to be able to get out of bed. See, you don't just wake up one day in the depths of depression not able to get out of bed. You don't just wake up one day like that. It's little by little. It's gradual. And you know what? And then the wasteful water of the enemy rises in your life so much where it's like, okay, I'm in over my head now. There's nothing I can do. I quit. I give up. Well, let me just help you. We don't quit. And your kids start something. They don't have to re-up when it's over, but they can't quit. Because you know, let me tell you, we start quitting becomes easy. Man, the things in my life that are important enough for me to start, I'm not going to quit. Man, your capital campaign pledge, you can't quit. And you'll say, what am I going to do? Well, I planned on giving $100 a month, but I can't do it. Give 10. Keep that muscle memory. What is this? This is me dropping that $10 bill in a bucket. What are you doing? I'm dropping that $10 bill in a bucket. Let me tell you, the work's going to get done. We're doing the work ahead of the money. That's how good God is here. But I believe now that there's a code that we live by. And one of the top few aspects of that code is we don't quit. We overcome. We don't quit. We walk in victory. We lay hold of that which has laid hold of us. But I'll just tell you, you got to look at whatever it is, the anxiety, the depression, the fear, and you've got to take a bold move, and you've got to choose to stomp a mud hole in it. I'll just tell you, I believe, and I'm going to talk about this more next Sunday, I believe you need a statement, a signature win in your life. A statement win. Man, Pastor Sandy and I have had impossible situations, things that were, there's no way it could work out, and we lived to fight another day. And we won through it. And it became a statement win in our lives. Now it's like, this is what we do. We have these statement wins now where impossible became possible. What everyone that talked to us and counseled us and tried to warn us said couldn't happen, happened. And it happened in our favor. And we came out way ahead of where we thought we were going to be. I'll be real honest with you. There was a kid, well, Jude Florence, he's 14 or 15 years old. He came up to me and he said, I love being here. I said, I love you being here. Man, he's at the DC, he's at the nightmare, he's at church. And I'm telling you, that kid doesn't play, man. He's a warrior. And he said, sometime would you tell me about the first nightmare? I thought about it, I thought, oh my gosh, that literally was a nightmare. We had to turn the men's bathroom into a smoke hole because people were going, hey, I know I'm an actor, I know I'm whipping Jesus, but I need a cigarette, man. I'm like, what are you going to do? You can't go outside. And then we caught him outside at a cigarette break talking to people that were in line getting ready to come in. And I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? And so, you know, sometimes you can't beat them, join them. We turned the men's bathroom into a smoke hole. We had to put in a new fan to get sucked. You walked in and you're like, oh my gosh. And we got through the nightmare. Man, there was one time where it's rolling and we've got like 30 people in the building thinking we're just winning, and everything just went, all the power. I'm like, and there the people are frantic and they're running around checking. And this kid walks over and he takes this extension cord and I'm watching him. And he picks it up and he plugs it back in the wall. And it went, everything came back. I'm like, there you go. That was the first nightmare. I'd walk outside, man, everything's ready. The soundtrack's rolling and Jesus hanging on the cross. And I walk outside and I'd look and there's no one in line. I'm like, okay, come on. I know someone's going to come. And then a truck would pull into the parking lot. Okay, don't look at them. Don't make eye contact. Everybody just act normal. And somebody would walk in and they'd go through and we'd pray with them. It's like, do you want to go through again? And then it just started rolling. And I thought about this, and there's two things that I thought about from that first nightmare. I thought it's amazing that we did it. And I think it's even more amazing we still do it after we did it that first year. And you know, I'm just telling you, the Bible says don't despise small beginnings or small steps. Don't despise the next small steps. Because I think they're all small steps anyway. There's no real leaps of faith that we have to make. It's all just small steps. But you know what? We keep stepping. And we finish the work that God's called us to start. We're finishers, and we finish strong in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.